Verse 13 is going to be my subject this evening. Deal with one verse tonight. Hereby know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Now the apostle has been dealing with love, God's love for us, herein His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And this was manifested, the love of God, that He sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then He talked about our love for Him and our love for one another. And He says that love for one another is the evidence of knowing God. Look what He said in verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that knoweth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And another thing that He says about this love is that this is also how we know that God dwells in us. And He said in verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. We've not seen Him, we've not felt Him, we've not touched Him. If we love one another, and this is what He said, God dwelleth in us. God dwells in us if we love one another. And His love is perfected in us. It's complete in us. Finished in us. Perfected in us by our love one toward another. But here in verse 13, He gives another proof of God dwelling in us. If we love one another, that proves that God's dwelling in us. God dwells in us if we have love one to another. God dwells in us. And here in verse 13, He gives proof again of God dwelling in us and us dwelling in Him. And He says, hereby we know that we dwell in Him. And He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And when He talks about this love, where does this love come from? This love that causes God to dwell in us. And He talks about the Spirit here. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost. By the Spirit of God. So He says God dwells in us because we love one another. And then He comes down and says, we know that God dwells in us and we dwell in Him. Because that love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is what's in us if we dwell in God and He is in us by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, those who possess this love that our Lord's talking about, or here John's talking about, they also possess the Holy Spirit. And John says here, we may know and should know that we know God. We should know that we know God. He that's for love is of God, and everyone that loveth God is born of God. And to know God. And it's that, this idea that we know God, and we should know that we know Him. That we're in Him and that He's in us. And that's what John says here. Hereby know we. And that's something we can be certain of. He says we know, we are certain. And how many times has He told us, is several times, that we know. Look over here in verse 13 of chapter 5. And we know. It's the nature of a believer to know God. It's the nature of a believer to know the Holy Spirit. It's the nature of a believer to know some things. And He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Did you see that? That you may know. Not think about it, not ponder about it, not wonder about it, or not hope about it. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And He said the same thing in John Gospel chapter 20 and verse 31. He said, of all the things that our Lord Jesus done, He said, these things are written, that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, and believing on Him, you might have life through His name. And so we're taking what God says, not what we feel or anything else. And He tells us we know. We know some things. And here he says there, hereby know we, that you may know. And I'm going to ask a few questions tonight. And he says, you know, that you may know, or that you know ye. Do we believe God? Do we believe God? Are we children of Abraham? Do we walk in the steps of our father Abraham? The steps of that faith. That's what he called the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Do we believe God? Do we believe what he says? Do we desire to honor our Lord's life, our Lord's death, our Lord's resurrection? And I said in one of the services the other day that to doubt and to worry and to fret and not believe, there's nothing that's God dishonoring. It's sin. But to believe God is the most honoring thing that a soul can do on top side of this earth, is to believe God. Nothing honors God like faith does. Nothing honors the Word of God. Nothing honors the glory of God. Nothing honors the faithfulness of God and the sovereignty of God and the providence of God and everything He sends in our life than to believe Him. We just sung that song. I read that song. We're going to wait on God. My soul waits on God. I'm waiting for my salvation. That means that he was in trouble, so he's going to wait till God come and saved him from his trouble. And so, see, and that's what we do. And to believe God honors him, honors him. But let me go back to this thing, hereby we know. Let me tell you some things we know. We know this. We know this, that we were dead in sins. We were dead in sins. We had no spiritual life. No life of God in us. We had to be born again. And John talks about the new birth several times. He talks about the new birth of being born again in verse 1 of chapter 5. He talks about it again there in verse 4 of chapter 5. He talks about it again there in verse 7 of chapter 4. He talks about being born of God, those that are born of God. And since we were dead in trespasses and sins and had no spiritual life, we had to be born again. And what the new birth is the life of God Himself coming into a man's soul. It's God coming to live in us, dwell in us. Our Lord Jesus said, we will come and take up our abode with you. You hear my words, you believe my word, and I'll come and abide, we'll come and abide with you. And oh, and listen, let me ask you this. Can a man have this life of God in his soul? And this new birth, this life of God, that God dwelled in them, and not know that they have got life from God? Could you have life from God and not know it? Oh, the presence of God in us. We know what it is now, and we also know what it's like before we had it. It was awful to be without God. And here now we have the presence of God for us, the presence of God in us, and we know what it was like not to have Him in us and not to be one of the children of God. But we had to have spiritual life, and that's what He's talking about here. God coming and dwelling in us, and us in Him. Well, how do we know that God dwells in us? He says, he tells us very plainly, he gives the answer himself. How do we know that God dwells in us? And we dwell in him. Because he hath given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we know. Huh? And let me ask you, this is some questions that we have to answer for ourselves. About whether God dwells in us or not by His Spirit, and whether we in Him. The first question I want to ask is this. Are you interested in spiritual things? Are you interested in eternal things? Is that the main interest of your whole life? Is the things of God? The things of the Word? The things of eternity? The things of your soul? The things of spiritual things? Is that your greatest interest and greatest desire? Is to know God? You're interested in eternal things? You're interested in spiritual things? Or things of the world? Oh, the things of the world. What is that compared to this? And I'll ask you this, are you concerned for your soul? Are you like the Apostle Paul said, I want to know him, I want to be found in him, I want to win him? That was a man who was a saved man, but still yet his desire was as hot after God as they was the day that God saved him. And that's what I'm talking about. Are we concerned for your soul? More concerned for your soul than anything else? Are you more concerned about knowing God than anything else? That's how we know God dwells in us. We wouldn't have this without the Spirit of God in us. Huh? People apart from God, you know what they do? They mind earthly things. Philippians 3:17 says this, that whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, and they mind. That's their desire. That's where their interest at. Earthly things. Trifling things. Things, trinkets, and toys of this world that pass away. And how do we know God's Spirit dwells in us? What's your greatest desire? Is your heart set on eternal things, spiritual things, on knowing God, knowing Christ, resting in Christ, and honoring Christ? And let me ask you another question. How do we know that God dwells in us? What's your sense of sin? What do you know about sin? What do you know about sin? Do we know that there's an evil principle in us? I mean an evil principle. Not that you don't do certain things and you do certain things and don't do other certain things and you do this, that, and the other. But do you know that you have an evil nature inside of you? A nature that's against God, a nature that the sin and the soul, there's a foul nature in us. When we're like the Apostle Paul, this is how we know God's Spirit dwells in us, by our sense of sin, what we know about sin. You know, Paul says, when I would do good, I do evil. That I would do, I don't do. I see then that I hate, that's what I do, and that I love, I don't do. So I see a war in my members. And he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? How would you know anything about this evil nature that's in you, this foul nature that's in you, this nature that can put God off and this awful nature? Do you feel this way about yourself? Do you come to the place that at times you abhor yourself? That you actually hate yourself? Oh, ain't nobody ever felt this way or known this about themselves until God comes in by the Holy Ghost. Man don't have a clue what sin is until God comes in by the Holy Ghost. And not only what he does is sin, but what he thinks is sin, how he feels is sin. And nobody can get in his mind but God. Nobody knows what's going on in the man's heart but God. But a man, because of that nature that's in him, he'll come to say, oh God, I despise myself, I abhor myself, and I long for the day when this old man will be buried. And if Paul didn't come back and say that there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, awful would it have been if he left us in Romans 7. You remember Todd come down here a few years ago, and one of his messages was, are you a Romans 7 sinner? You remember that? Are you a Romans 7 sinner? Yes. Oh, and I'll tell you another thing, how we know God's Spirit dwells in us and we're in Him. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says there in verse 14 and 15. And this is what I'll deal with hopefully next week. And we have seen and do testify. This is what the Spirit in us causes to happen. And you notice that Spirit's capitalized. That's God, the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in him, God. So, yeah, we say, who else are we going to go to? We're like the disciples. We're like the apostles. When they all these people turned away and the Lord Jesus looked down and said, are you also going to go away? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Who are we going to go to? Who else loves us like he did? Who else could put our sin away like he does? Who else can be touched with the film of our infirmities like he does? Who else can we pour our hearts out to? Who else do we say, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, most holy one, I need thee. Oh, the princes of this world, look over, keep this, and look with me over at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at this just a minute. But oh my, look what happened. The princes of this world didn't recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 2:8. Which none of this, talking about God, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But look what it says down here in verse 10. But God hath revealed them, the things of Christ, the things of what God's put in our hearts, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And oh, the Spirit searches the things of God and shows them unto us. And there's no man can call Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lord, Jehovah God, that's what that means. Not just Jesus is Lord. And we know he's Lord. But when it talks about no man calleth Jesus the Lord by the Holy Ghost, you're saying that he is God. Nobody can call Jesus God but by the Holy Ghost. And that's what we're saying. We have faith. We know that the Spirit of God dwells in us and us in him because we believe, we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you another question, how we can know God's Spirit dwells in us and we in him. Is there a struggle? Do you have a struggle? Do I have a struggle between the flesh and the Spirit? Do it. Galatians 5:17. Y'all know this very well. The flesh, that's that old nature we was talking about. Lustes, wars, fights against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary. I mean, they're opposites to one. They're contrary to one another. So that you cannot do the things that you want. You can't do it. And this is what we have. People, I don't understand. I know three or four preachers that deny that we have two natures. I cannot for the life of me figure out how they can go to the Scriptures and by their own admission and by what the Scripture says that if you don't have two natures, what's a war going on? Why do you have this struggle between the old man and the new man? And that's what he calls the new man's created in righteousness and true holiness, but that old man is just like he was the day he come out of his mother's womb. And I never had a bit of struggle with my flesh until I got that new nature. And when that new nature comes, we're just butting heads like goats. We're just butting heads all the time. In fact, we get so ornery in ourselves that we go off to get away from somebody so our orneriness won't show. Do y'all ever do that? I need to go sit on the porch. I need to go walk through the field. I need to go somewhere. I'm so ornery in myself. But oh my. This one of these natures in us, he wants the heavenly things. He wants the spiritual things. He wants the things of God. And he delights in the things of God. But oh, that other nature. He wants to keep you from the things of God. He wants to keep you from spiritual things. He wants to keep you down and fill your mind with worries and anxieties and troubles, and let you zero in on those anxieties and those troubles and the things and the fears and doubts that you got going on in this world. And that's why you have this struggle. You come in a service. You're in a service here tonight. And a lot of you having struggles tonight because you want to be involved in this service. And yet at the same time, your flesh is here, yonder, and everywhere else. And now you know why I know that? Because that's the way I am. I know that because that's the way I am. Oh my. And I tell you what, these two natures is proof that the Holy Spirit's in us. If you have that. And let me ask you another question. Oh, I love these questions. Here's another. How do we know the Spirit of God dwells in us? How do we know that God dwells in us? Because the Spirit He's given us. Are you conscious of God working in you? Of God dealing with you? Philippians 2:13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Are you conscious of God working in you, dealing with you? And are we aware that God deals with us? You know, and what I mean by that, we don't decide to do things. We don't get up one day and decide, well, we're going to go to church. We don't get up and decide we're going to be religious. We don't get up and decide, well, I'm going to read some today. We don't live by decisions. We live by the Spirit of God in us. That's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit moves us. He moves us to the gospel, moves us to hear. He moves us. And He works in us both to do and to will. Whether we're reading the Scriptures, listening to the Gospel, meditating, you feel God rise up in your soul. You feel God rise up in your mind. And you're amazed. You just stand amazed at God's dealings with you. You come in here wore out and you leave here rejoicing. You come in here and God strengthens you when you're weak. And you say, oh, God, how did you know what was going on? God knows. Huh? Are we aware, and we are aware, of this wonder-working power of God in us? And it is a wonder-working power. I mean, it's a wonder-working power that causes you to sit here and listen to a 2x4 preacher week after week after week after week. That's a wonder-working power. You know, working in you, moving you, disturbing you sometimes. He disturbs you. He disturbs your heart. He disturbs your soul. He leads you. He persuades you. He's drawing you and causes you to keep on believing. God does that in us. God does that. I wonder how I'm going to. You don't have to answer. This is a question you don't have to answer. How many times have you thought, well, I'm just too tired to go to a service. I'm just too tired to go. I've worked hard today, but you know, I need to go. I need something for myself. And so you just get up and you come on. You know what did that? God did that in you. If you listen to your flesh, you know what you'd have done? You'd be asleep on the couch. or you'd be watching television. But God, that's what I'm saying. He moves us and He draws us. And He keeps us. And we're conscious of God. Are you conscious of God speaking to you in the gospel? You conscious of God disturbing your soul every once in a while over something? That's God working in you, both to will, and not only will, but to do. He wills something, and you do it. And then last of all, this is my last question. Why do we know that God's Spirit dwells in us and that God dwells in us? And so if we know the Spirit dwells in us, then we know we dwell in God, and God dwells in us and we're in Him. And here's the sixth thing. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is fruit. Look in Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. Here we go, 5:22. He's talking about this is the difference between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. And oh my, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. And I know that young trees don't bear much fruit, but they still bear fruit. And that's what he says. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in you, God dwelling in you, is this: love, joy, and peace. Those are all things that's inside you. Those are the things that blesses your heart and blesses your soul. You have the love of God in you. You have love for God. You have love for one another. You have joy. The gospel produces this joy. The gospel produces peace. And this is how we react to other people. Long-suffering. Long-suffering with one another. Gentleness toward one another. Goodness toward one another. And then look at the things before God. Faith. Oh, the Holy Spirit produces faith. We believe God. It produces meekness. That word meekness means that you're pliable. In God's hands, you say, Lord, your will be done. You do. You're the potter, I'm the clay. You shape and mold me whichever way you want. And temperance. Temperance before God. Not extreme in any way. Not extreme this way, that way, with the flesh or with the, you know, we're not extreme. And against such, who in the world would find anything wrong with that? Who would raise up a law against that? Huh? And beloved, hereby know we that God dwells in us and we dwell in Him. How? By the Spirit which He hath given us. And all the things that I've mentioned tonight, if you answered, oh, that's me, then that's a pretty good indication that God dwells in you and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, blessed Father, gracious Father, holy Father, oh, the glorious, glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, your word is, it's clean, it's pure, it enlightens the eyes. It teaches us, instructs us. And we're thankful for that. Oh, how thankful we are for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in us, that takes the things of Christ and shows them to us, that makes us, whatever goes on in our life, it drives us to you, Lord Jesus. Always drives us to you. And Lord, you keep us where we're calling on you, looking to you and trusting you and believing you. Never let us stray. Please keep our foot from slipping and our minds and heart and soul fixed on you. For they'll be fixed on you for eternity someday. But Lord, we want them fixed on you now. We bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that just one chorus, that last line in 318. This last verse in 318. Let's stand together and sing that. Just that last verse in 318. And then you'll be at liberty to go. 318. Just the last verse.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son.